Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We got a beautiful show. We got some beautiful hosts. We got a beautiful game. We got taste. We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests.
Hello, and welcome back to County Cricket Natters. And we've been away for a few weeks. We've had the Royal London Cup, and we've had some other competition, which we don't like to talk about here. And I am delighted to be joined on a very sad day where the Queen has passed away, to be joined after a long, long pause this summer by the Queen of County Cricket, Annie Chave. Welcome back, Annie.
Hello. It's lovely, lovely to be back. And I'll just raise a glass to the Queen and say that was one fine inning she put herself through. It's lovely to be back. Let's hope the next four rounds are brilliant.
Yeah, as Europe sang back in the 80s, it's the final countdown. Yeah. And our guest tonight, I am absolutely delighted because I am a Middlesex fan, as regular listeners will know. And we have got somebody from possibly the finest side to ever set foot on a cricket pitch. Man from the 1980s, he was there in the middle order all the time. He won countless county championships, countless Benson Hedges Cup. I think he's won a NatWest Trophy and possibly even a John Player League. Welcome, Roland Butcher.
Hi, it's a great pleasure to be here and be part of your show, even on this sad day, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, let's crack on straight away with Division One. Let's go down to Southampton. And Hampshire have gone top of the league. They got 400 for 9 in their game against North Hants. They all chipped in. Felix Organ, 71. And Nyrin Donald got 94. Kyle Abbott got 51 with a bat from, I think, number 10. North Hants were then all out for 175. Kyle Abbott, 4 for 52. And Hampshire enforced the follow-on. Emilio Gay, he's a good player. I really like the look of him. He got 74. But it's Mohammed Abbas, the other of the AB team at Hampshire, got 4 for 32. The weather was closing in, though, and just before it hammered down with rain, James Fuller's bowled Jack White, Northamptonshire, to leave Hampshire winning by an innings and four runs. Roland Butcher, Surrey or Hampshire for the title?
Well, I think it's going to be a tight one. I will be fortunate to be doing that final game between Lancashire and Surrey at Old Trafford, so that could easily be the decider. Obviously, Hampshire have had a fantastic season, and you know it just shows the, you know, when you put a good score on the board first innings, how you can put teams under pressure, particularly at this stage of the season where teams have gone several weeks without any red ball cricket and now back into play. So if you can get a score early on, and we saw it in some of the other matches as well, then the opposition is under tremendous pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they got maximum bonus points, didn't they? Because they got their 400. They bowled North Hants out in the, you know, within the required 110 overs. Annie Chafe, you picked Hampshire start of the season, and I thought you were off your rocker.
Yeah. Well, it's the bowling lineup really that got me. You know, it's the Abbott and Abbas and Barker's just been so fantastic as well. So I watched the last few overs of this, and it was just really, really thrilling, wasn't it? And it literally was about a minute, and then the heavens opened, didn't they? I mean, it was really, really amazing.
Yeah, and you know, you do wonder whether it's written in the stars for Hampshire this year, don't you? You really do. I'll tell you what will be interesting, though, is Liam Dawson's going to go away with England to Pakistan. I think he's going to miss their last two games. So it's, you know, we wonder if that's going to be, you know, if that's going to come into play and whether that's going to be championship defining for them. Time will only tell, I suppose, won't it? So we'll see. What about North Hants? They've had a good year, Roland.
Yeah, I mean, again, North Hants, I mean, they have been doing pretty well this year as well. And, you know, you'd expect that team like North Hants, which perhaps would be considered one of the, I wouldn't say lesser teams, because they're all playing at a certain level. But, you know, they'd be disappointed with this performance, particularly the scores, you know, being bowled out for under 200 in the first innings and just barely getting past the 200 in the second innings, really to lose by an innings, they'd be quite disappointed with that performance.
Yeah, I mean, we had them nailed on for relegation favourites, didn't we, at the start of the season? And I think they've exceeded all expectations. I mean, they've had a brilliant year. And interestingly, one of their players, Ryan Rickleton, should make his debut for South Africa if this test match takes place at the Oval. But or not his debut, I think he's played for South Africa already, but he's going to come into the side. And I saw him at the Cheltenham Festival, and I thought he was a fantastic player. I really did. And yeah, they've got some good players there. Emilio Gay, as we touched on, is a really stylish left-hander. He's very good down the ground. He's got a lovely cover drive on him. He's a fantastic slip fielder as well. So, no, all credit to
them. Yeah, it's good to see them punching above their weight, definitely. Really.
Yeah. That game was the only game as well which wasn't a local derby. So let's move on to the Roses game. And let's go up to Old Trafford. And for Lancashire, there was 180 opening stand between Keaton Jennings, got 118, and Luke Wells, he got 84. George Hill then took the first six wickets for Yorkshire for 26. But Ben Code ruined his tenfer. He got the next three. And that left Lancashire from 180 for none to 276 all out. Yorkshire got 255. Finlay Bean got 50 there, top scoring. Young Master Bean. Lancashire then put on an opening stand of just 186 this time. Ben Wells got 124. Keaton Jennings, 68. And then they set Yorkshire a target, but Yorkshire finished up 102 for three before the rains came down. Annie, there was a strange one went on in that game. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, obviously they were trying to force something through, and Tattersall, who is captain and keeper, came on and bowled four overs, and he got 2 for 27. So that's quite fun. I don't think that happens very often, so that was fun.
Roland, have you covered Yorkshire much this year?
No, that my first game with Yorkshire will be the next one, where they take on Essex at Headingley. So I'll be there next week. So I haven't seen any of their games this year. I did see Essex recently, and obviously I will see them again. But it'll be good to see Yorkshire for the first time.
Yeah, it seems Darren Goff's like blooding a few youngsters up there, isn't he? Finlay Bean's one. George Hill is another one. He's part of the Sedba group who's coming through there with Harry Brook. And it seems like they're sort of rebuilding a little bit at Yorkshire. And it's good to see. And they're giving some youngsters a chance up there. And, I think the future will be bright for them. They might have a few years where they struggle perhaps a little bit because the youngsters might not be quite ready just yet. But I think they've got some really good ones coming up. And then 3-4 years, I think, there'll be a real force to be reckoned with. Let's go down to Taunton, Annie, if you want to discuss this game at all. Because, you know, I know you're a Somerset girl. Gloucestershire, 343, having been stuck in. Marcus Harris, 159. Ben Charlesworth, 56. Ollie Price, 52. Somerset then responded, 248 on debut. Imam Al-Haq got 90. Tom Price, yet again in the wickets for Gloucestershire. He got 5 for 75. Gloucestershire then set Somerset a target, having got 279 for 7. Charlesworth again with 60. Ollie Price again with 53. Miles Hammond again with 53. And Somerset were in deep trouble, but the rain washed out the final day. Annie, next week, Somerset have got Warwickshire.
Yep.
That's a relegation, if it was in football terms, a six-pointer, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, this was an odd game, wasn't it? I mean, because obviously Somerset won the toss and fielded, and you know it wasn't a bad choice to do that. It was there was weather around and stuff, and and then of course it just didn't start as we wanted. Harris got a fantastic 159, and we just didn't put the ball in the right areas. We, you know, and then we had a big spell of getting wickets, and then it just didn't go the Somerset's way, I have to say. But it was kind of the tale of two overseas players, Harris and Al-Haq, and but also I want to really put in a big shout out to James Rue, who got a fantastic 44 not out. He's looking like a rock for Somerset, this young lad with the old shoulders, obviously. So that's really, really good to see, and I'm really, really pleased with that. But yeah, we didn't need a draw, but we were lucky to get a draw. I think Gloucestershire, you know, should have pushed harder on the third day.
Yeah, possibly. I agree with you about James Rue. I saw him saw quite a bit of this game, and he looks about 12 years old. He's obviously had a far easier paper round than I did, I tell you. So, Roland, you've seen a little bit of Gloucestershire this week. I mean, we had a chat. It was the Lancashire game you covered for the BBC, wasn't it, the other week?
Yes.
Tom Price, are you impressed with him?
Yeah, I thought he's done. You know, he's done pretty well in the games that he has played. Getting back to that Somerset game against Lancashire, it was at Southport, bit of a run feast, and James Rue did actually bat very well. I think that was probably his first game, and he played really well. Pitch was very, very flat, and obviously, you may remember that Keaton Jennings got 300 plus, but. Yeah, so I think, you know, obviously he's a bit of a find for Somerset, and you know, for the future, really, they'd be quite pleased that they've given the opportunity to play this year, and the progress that he's made.
Yeah, he's just looked really solid and really knows how to occupy the crease, and we just haven't had that of late, so it's great.
Roland, I mean, we saw a couple of overseas here in Marcus Harris and Imam Al-Haq. I want to talk to you about overseas, because you had the privilege of playing with Mr. Wayne Wendell Daniel in your time. I mean, what was that like?
Great. He was on my side. I mean, no, listen, when you have got a bowler in your team with real pace, you know, something that gives you a bit of a cutting edge, that at any time of the game you can call upon that type of bowler to have an impact. You know, this is very, very important. And I think Wayne was really central to a lot of the success that we had, certainly in the 80s and 90s, because you always knew that you hand the ball to him and you would get a real lion-hearted effort. And, you know, there was a bit of a fear factor involved, you know, with the opposition. So, you know, you always knew you were in the game once he was on your team. So, you know, great to have him in the team.
Yeah, and Vincent van der Bijl as well in the 1980. I think he picked
absolutely. Up. You know, Vince was a fantastic bowler. There's no question about it. I don't know whether we were fortunate or unfortunate to see him at the back end of his career, because that was pretty much, he only played the one season. But in that season, you know, he got over 80-odd wickets. So, you know, he showed his class in that very, very short spell that he had with us.
Yeah. I mean, the Middlesex at the time had, you know, some wonderful overseason lane. Jeff Thompson was one, wasn't he? He came over for a bit before he disappeared on a camper van towards Amsterdam, I think, and spent the rest of the summer there in 1981.
Yeah, but he got injured. I think he had a hernia, which became a bit of a problem, and he couldn't play the full season. But, you know, he also had an immediate impact. And obviously, over the years, you've had Larry Gomes, you've had Desmond Haynes, and then obviously later on, Justin Lang and others. So they've had some good overseas players who have really performed well for the club.
Yeah. There's been the odd one who hasn't performed so well. There's a chap a few years ago called Hilton Cartwright, who sounds more like a hotel chain rather than an overseas player, but he wasn't so successful. But we move on. Anyway, let's go down to Essex for the Dartford Bridge, or the Thurrock Bridge, depending on what side of the Thames, Derby. Essex 573, Feroz Cushy 164, Matt Critchley 90, Sir Alistair Cook 78, Kent were bowled out for 164, Ben Allison coming into the side. He's got 4 for 40. He's a good youngster, come through. I think he's from Colchester and East Essex Cricket Club up that way. They enforced the follow on. Kent, 149. Only Jordan Cox showed any resistance. He got 65. Sam Cook, guest on the show on the first one we did this season, 7 for 33. Jamie Porter, guest on the show, first one we did last season. He got 3 wickets. Roland, you covered that game. Essex, just too good.
Yeah, I think basically at the end of the day, it proved that was the case. It could have been a lot different, I think. Really, the morning of the first day, Kent won the toss, and I was very surprised, actually, that they put the opposition into bat. There was a tinge of green in the wicket, but generally, the wicket was quite white, and even though conditions were overcast, you know, I was of the view, and which I made note to Don Topley in the commentary box, that I felt really that they should have batted. Having done that, they didn't bowl particularly well. They didn't use the conditions well enough with the new ball. Instead of pitching the ball up and trying to get the batsman onto the front foot and to try to get the edges, they were just a little bit too short, allowed the batsman to leave a lot of deliveries. And then once they got in, it was very difficult. Good opening partnership between Brown and Alistair Cook, which really set the platform for people like Wesley, Critchley, and then Cushy. Now, this is a young man that I think has got a real future in this game. Feroz Cushy. He came in at a time where, you know, he had to rebuild the innings. And I'll be very honest with you. He played really innings beyond his years. It was a very mature innings against both spin and pace. And I believe that, you know, this boy has got a real future in the game. And he didn't give it away. Wickets were falling even after that partnership with Critchley. Two senior batsmen came in, and I think Rossington and someone else just got threw their wickets away. But you got an ally with Allinson, and, you know, fashioned a really good partnership. There was a point where he was starved of the ball in for a long, long time, but it did not affect his temperament or concentration. When he got back on stripe, he just carried on, and then eventually he was the last one out. But I thought it was a fantastic innings, and, you know, I think he's somebody you need to keep an eye on.
It's only his third as well, I gather. So,
that was his eighth game. Before that, I think his previous highest was about 72.
Mm.
But it was a very, very mature innings. Mm.
And he's only 23, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, youngster.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, Arthur Akram is doing a fantastic job at Essex. He's going like into East London, developing links with a lot of those sort of Asian lads from East London. You know, and I think Cushy, I think he's from Wanstead Cricket Club, and he's a decent player, but I expect to see a whole production line over the next few years come from that sort of Asian community in East London, and they're really building things. I want to go back to electing to bat because Tom Abell, or sort of sticking the opposition in, sorry, because Tom Abell did it for Somerset as well.
Yeah, it was greener. It was quite green.
10-30 starts are having a little bit to do with that, Annie.
Yeah. I mean, if this is the whole September cricket debate, isn't it? Due and 10-30 starts are not ideal, are they?
No.
What I would also say, Annie, is that Kent also had a little bit of bad luck in the first innings. Number one, the wicketkeeper got injured, and Billingson had to go off for almost the rest of the game. And then on top of that, to compound matters, one of their fast bowlers, Milne, he got injured as well, which left them a bowler short. And it meant that people like Bill Drummond, who really ended up with the best figures in the end, had to bowl a lot of overs. But they were handicapped, first of all, as I said, having put the opposition in. Then those injuries. And if you put on top of that, that they didn't bowl particularly well, I think that contributed to the manner of their defeat.
Hmm.
Yeah, so who kept wicket then? Because they got Jordan Cox and Ollie Robinson, who can also...
Robinson took over and kept wicket.
Okay.
But well, they actually had three wicket keepers in there. And at one stage...
So it's very important.
at one stage, you know, they were all in a line. There was the keeper, first slip, second slip, were all three keepers.
Well, let's look at the table in Division 1. Hampshire, 217 points. They played 12. Surrey, 209. They played 11. Lancashire, 188. They played 12. Then there's a gap down to Essex in fourth. They're on 158. Northants, 133. Yorkshire, 129. It's down at the bottom where it's getting really tasty here. Kent, 115. They played 12. Somerset, 111. They've played 11. Warwickshire, 104. They played 11. And Gloucestershire, I think they've gone. I mean, 74 points. They played 12. Annie, Somerset, you think they can survive?
Every time I say yes, they can do it, they don't. So I don't know what to say now because I don't want to be negative. No, they can't do it.
Roland, which two do you think are going to go?
I believe Kent's going to have a bit of a problem because the fact is, perhaps those injured players might not be available for the next for the next game. I mean, Billings, I must remember also Billings, because of that injury, he ended up getting two ducks in the game, which is adding insult to injury. So, you know, if they've got those players out and the team is struggling, I mean, at the end of the second day, the guys who are actually on the field, they look absolutely out on their feet, the bowlers particularly. People like Stewart and others, I mean, Padmore and those guys were completely out of it. Difficult, I think, for them to really hit the ground running in the next game. So I think they might just be on a downward slope, Kent. So I would say that they've got a good chance of being one of them.
Yeah, they're my tip as well. They've got to go to Hampshire, I believe, which is not going to be easy. Warwickshire are going to have a massive say in this. They've got Somerset next week, and then they go to Gloucestershire the week after. I think Gloucestershire have gone. I think, you know, they had to win that game against Somerset. But I think they were probably even down before that, to be honest with you. But I'm with you, Roland. I'm going to go for Kent.
Let's just hope the weather holds out and we actually get three decent rounds. Because that's so massive in this. It's very, very tight, like you say.
Let's go to Division 2. And title elect, champions elect Nottinghamshire at Trent Bridge. They got 201 in the game against Leicestershire, East Midlands Derby. Ed Barnes got 3 for 32. Chris Wright still doing the business, 3 for 26 there. Leicestershire then got 93. Right, with the most bizarre scorecard you will ever see. Sam Evans opened. He got 50 not out, carried his bat. The other scores in the Leicestershire side went 1-6, 2-0, 1, 9, 0, 1, 0, and 6. There were 17 extras. They were all out for 93. So Sam Evans got 50. There were 17 extras, and they were all out for 93. Luke Fletcher there, guest on the show last year, got 4 for 23. Nottinghamshire then got a big score. They set a big target. They got 390 for 7. There were 60s there from Haseeb Hameed, Joe Clark, Lyndon James got runs. He's got runs all year. Leicestershire then collapsed, 257, although there was a swashbuckling 58 from number 11, Michael Finan. There was 3 wickets there for Brett the Hitman Hutton and 3 for Dane Patterson. Roland, I mean, we've said this from the start of the season, Notts just too strong for Division 2, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I think a very disappointing performance, really, by Leicester, because if you bowl the opposition out for 201, I think you've done a pretty good job. You should find that at least you can be on parity at the end of the first innings. If you find yourself with just 201 on the board and you have a deficit of over 100, you're pretty much on the back foot, and something that they never really recovered from. Why they batted obviously better the second innings to get up to 257. They were out of the game really after that first innings effort with the bat.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just think they were just sort of blown away. But they've been an interesting side, Leicestershire, because they've been absolutely awful in red ball cricket. Yet in white ball cricket, they qualified out of the group for the Royal London Cup, and they were going really well in the T20 until they got deducted points. Annie, I mean, you're a fan of Paul Nixon up there, the coach, aren't you?
Paul Nixon. Absolutely. I love his tenacity and his enthusiasm for the game. Totally. But it's been a tough season for them. Really has.
And Sean Jarvis, the CEO. Mm. I mean, he's forward thinking guy, isn't he?
Yeah, really, really great community wise, and been fantastic with them, getting out initiatives and getting people into the ground and stuff. Absolutely fundamental stuff that he's been doing, which has been fantastic. So yeah, I was hoping to get up to Leicestershire a couple of times and unfortunately couldn't make it, but I want to go up there and just say to them, well done for everything you're doing, guys. But looking at that scorecard on the first innings, they won't be happy with that. You rarely see so many single figures, do you?
Yeah. Roland, you must have batted at Trent Bridge a few times in your career. What was Mr. Hadley like out there?
Well, I mean, obviously, Hadley and Rice were a very good partnership. Always very tough. I think we had some pretty good times up there. Obviously, we weren't too bad ourselves, so we always look forward to the contest. But they perform normally. They perform well at home, and I'm sure in this game, particularly as I said, Leicester, they did the job. Obviously, first innings with a ball, but after that, it just went downhill.
Mm. Yeah. And, you played under Mike Brearley as well. I mean, that must have been a fascinating insight into, what's a man who's lauded as one of the finest Ashes captains ever.
Yeah, I mean, and quite rightly so. You know, I think as a captain, I was fortunate to play most of my career, or at least half of it, because Mike Gatting took over after that. But, very fortunate to play with someone like him who had a real hunger for the game, understanding of the game, and somebody who read situations very well and read people also very well. So he certainly had a huge impact, not just on myself, but I think all the players and the club and the success of the club and in the time that he was there. And really, Mike Gatting was also able to reap the benefits after, because he left a pretty good outfit in place, Mike Brearley, when he went.
Yeah. One thing we do sort of ask people about is, where's the best food on the circuit? Trembridge comes up quite a bit. Yeah, I mean, you played at Lord's in the days when Nancy was there in the kitchen and Mike Gatting would have 3 portions of spotted dick and custard after his lunch.
I mean, reportedly.
That's alleged.
Yeah.
Where was the best, would you say?
I mean, you cannot get better than Lords, really. I mean, I think every team enjoyed coming to Lords, not just because it's a fantastic place to play cricket and et cetera, but I think they enjoyed coming there for the lunches as well. You know, they've been pretty good around the other counties, but at Lords, you know, the lunches were very, very special.
Okay.
And Nancy really treated all of us like her sons. So that, yeah, that made it even better.
Let's go to Cardiff and indulge with some Welsh rarebit. Worcestershire, 454 for 9. Gareth Roderick, 172 for Worcestershire. Glamorgan responded, 295. Shubman Gill, I think he's just gone there. I think that's his debut there. He got 92. There's a guy who took 4 wickets there for Worcestershire. We speak about him regularly. He's quick. Dylan Pennington, he got 4 wickets. And there was 4 wickets there for Ben Gibbon in only his, I think, his 4th game. He's a 22-year-old left-armer from Chester. And he looks to...
I think he got his first class wicket in May. So, yeah, he's a youngster, and great to see both of those two doing well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Welsh weather intervened. Glamorgan followed on. They were 5 for none before it, in layman's terms, pissed it down with rain. So there you go. Glamorgan, Roland, going well this second in the league. Matthew Maynard doing a great job.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in this particular game against Worcester, you know, when a team gets 450-odd in the first innings, you know, you're going to be under a lot of pressure. You know, and, you know, if you look at most of the runs, apart from Pollock at the top, who got 54, most of the runs really came right in the middle. You know, as you said, Rollock, he batted at number 5 for his 172, you know, and he had Barnard chipped in at number 6. He got 75. And then you got, say, down at 8, you know, Leach chipped in with 87. So they got up to a total that was going to really put the team under pressure. So Glamorgan were always struggling after that. And I think they'd be quite pleased to get away with a drawn game.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a battle royale because Glamorgan have got Middlesex coming up. And I know who my money's on. I know who Roland Butcher's money's on. So come on the middle. And I apologise to any of our Welsh listeners tuning in. So there we go. Right, finally, let's finish up. Up at Durham, Derbyshire, 306. Lees De Ploy, 82. Harry came, and then he went for 78. Anuj Dahl got 56. Durham, 223. Michael Jones got 87 of that. There's 4 wickets there for Sam Connors. He's another one we like. He's quick. And there was 2 apiece for the opticians at Derbyshire. Dahl and Aitchison.
Very good, very good. You've been trying to get that in, haven't you?
Derbyshire, 214 for 9. Wayne Madsen, 58. There was 5 wickets there for Ben Rain as well. Durham were in a little bit of trouble. They're 107 for 5. But Liam Travaskis and Paul Coughlin saved the game with an unbeaten partnership of 70.
Two weather affected. They were on and off all the time, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Derbyshire, though, they've had a really good year. Roland, you're a big fan of Mickey Arthur?
Well, I mean, Mickey Arthur's obviously an international coach. He's coached some big teams, so, you know, you must give him his papers. He he's got a Derby team that I perhaps, you know, the squad's not the deepest, I wouldn't imagine, in terms of players, but... You know, I guess he's doing the best that he can with them. He's still got a couple of experienced players. I mean, Madsen has been quite good for them this year. Certainly,
he's had a really good season, actually,
yeah,
hasn't he?
In the first half of the season. And then, obviously, you know, Masood really is the talisman. So he, you know, he's lucky to have one exceptional player and, you know, a couple of young hopefuls and then the experience of Madsen. So, you know, you know, he's done perhaps as well as he can do for this year.
Yeah, I like Wayne Madsen. I think, you know, he's churned out the runs. He's had 20,000 runs for Derbyshire. He's probably had offers to go elsewhere countless times during his career. and he stayed there. And, you know, I like his loyalty. Anna, you were up at Queen's Park Chesterfield early in the season.
I was, and Roland was there too.
What's yes, that like? It was. What's that like as a venue? It's a place I've always
beautiful.
It's absolutely it's beautiful. I liked it too.
You had trouble with your parking.
The only part was being in that tent, Annie.
Yeah, yeah. We were freezing.
We were absolutely freezing in the tent. And there was actually one day where the wind was quite strong, and it was causing a little bit of problem. But it's a beautiful ground, actually.
Oh, it was gorgeous, wasn't it? And
it was.
You'd only just come over to England then, hadn't you?
Yeah, it was really soon after I had arrived. And Middlesex, I must say, didn't play that game particularly well.
No.
You know, but you could see really how good a player Masood was. And
he was
obviously he'd come off the back of a couple of double hundreds. So, you know, he played a key part in the game.
Mm. Yeah. I definitely would go to Chesterfield again. I think it was really, really beautiful. Gorgeous ground and real community feel there as well. It was lovely.
And from Chesterfield to Chesterley Street, James Franklin's going at the end of the season from Durham, isn't he? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's quite big news. They're going to be looking for a new coach up at Durham. They're, you know, they've been a little bit disappointing this season. There's a little bit of unrest. Their fans are disappointed. The wicket's hard up there to bowl sides out twice. It's not like the old days at Durham where it's, you know, 260, play 250, play 240, play 230. And they were really good games of cricket. They sort of, the wicket's gone a little bit, it's gone a little bit dead, perhaps, at Durham.
Well, Chris Rushworth still keeps getting the wickets.
Yeah, he's still going. Mm. He's still going. Well, let's have a look at the table, Division 2. Nottinghamshire, I mean, they're almost up. They've got 215 points. They played 12 games. Glamorgan, 172 points. They played 11. Derbyshire, 169. So they're three behind Glamorgan. They played 12. Middlesex, they're 165. So they're 7 points behind Glamorgan. They played 11. So they're equal on games. And then there's a bit of a gap down to Worcestershire, 144. They played 11. Durham, 137. They played 11. And then you've got Sussex on 105. Leicestershire, 75. I want predictions, guys. Who's going up with Nottinghamshire? Roland Butcher.
Well, this one could be pretty close. I mean, you know, if Middlesex can get a result in the next game and Glamorgan don't get a result, that would put Middlesex in a very good position. Derby's already played a game more. So I think really the Glamorgan and the Middlesex games really are key games to, you know, to even it up to the 12. What happens in those two games, I think, will have a huge bearing on mm-hmm. who goes up. I would like to see Middlesex because we need to do something because, you know, we've had some very lean years. So if Middlesex can win this next game, you know, that would put them in a very good position.
Yeah. Annie?
I'm going to go Middlesex.
Yeah.
I think they merit it.
Yeah, we said that at the start of the season. I mean, you know, when they signed Shaheen Shah Afridi, I thought, here we go. I thought they might even, you know, possibly even pip knots to the title with Shaheen Shah. But obviously he went home after a month, 6 weeks or whatever. They signed Ryan Higgins and he's going to be available now till the end of the season. He could be useful in these conditions. So we'll see. But I can't wait for that one. And, we'll be back on County Cricket Natters covering that next week. So, tune in.
And hopefully Sam will be back with us as well.
Yeah. Annie, do you want to do the wrap?
Yeah, well, this is us, Dan Whiting.
Goodbye all. Thank you.
Annie Chave back at last. Thank you all. And wonderful to have Roland Butcher. Thank you, Roland.
Annie, it's a great pleasure and good to see you back at your feet and and certainly enjoying the game that you love.
Yeah, thank you. And yes, we'll be back next week when the second round of the autumnal part of the county championship will be being played.
We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats, and we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Podcast Network.